BBC Radio Solent Friday morning. That's the Eurythmics, Annie Lennox and crew, and Thorn in My Side. I've been described as that quite a few times. Now, earlier on in Julian Clegg's breakfast show, Sarah Locke revealed that she had had a panic attack. She doesn't usually suffer from them, but it seems that it could come at any time. And according to the National Health Service, the panic attacks can affect 1 in 10 of us. In addition to the acute feeling of fear that Sarah had, attacks are also characterised by a rapid heartbeat. Your breathing increases as well, so you're fast breathing. You also have nausea as well. And while most panic attacks last only a few minutes, they can continue for an hour or more. Can you imagine? Well, GPs faced with panic disorder will typically advise on a course of the talking treatment cognitive behavioural therapy, of all things. I think that will put an attack your way, just thinking about that. Or may prescribe one of the family of depression and anxiety drugs. But how about a drug-free, non-invasive treatment, which is called biofeedback? Well, joining us is Bill Frost, who's a therapist from changingstates.co.uk, and he's on the programme with us now. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Mike.
First of all, let's just establish what a panic attack is, because we heard from Lockie that it just came on like that. I've never had one, thankfully. I do get nervous sometimes, but I've never had an attack which has all of those symptoms that we just described.
Well, a panic attack is essentially a very intense stress response that typically occurs in a very short period of time and lasts for about 20 minutes. So it's a highly intense stress response.
And what brings it on? Anything?
It can be initially learnt as a result of overuse of drugs or alcohol. That is certainly possible, but typically there are no specific triggers as such, although there may be specific triggers for some people.
Okay, now you have this non-invasive drug-free treatment called biofeedback. Mm-hmm. We've heard that a lot of people are put on anti-anxiety drugs, but what is biofeedback?
Biofeedback is a collective term for a variety of technologies that allow people to see in quite visual terms what is happening in terms of their underlying physiology, their underlying biochemistry, if you like.
Yeah. And you can watch your heart rate slow down as well when you start to use these techniques.
Sometimes, although it is certainly true that for some people the heart rate will actually increase as they begin to learn to relax.
Okay.
What is more important is actually the overall pattern of the heart rate, and in particular, very subtle differences between each heartbeat itself. Yeah. And this is known as heart rate variability, and that will typically become more consistent as people begin to learn how to relax.
I think something like this would be advantageous as well for people who suffer from white coat syndrome, especially when they go to a doctor's or a hospital to have their blood pressure taken.
Most certainly, and biofeedback technologies are certainly very much used for hypertension, high blood pressure.
Mm. Does the way we actually breathe affect our state of mind? Is there a relationship between the two?
There's a very definite relationship between how we breathe and underlying physiology, and what tends to happen is that as we begin to slow our breathing, so our physiology seems to adapt to that form of breathing, and when you're breathing more slowly, you're actually using less muscles. That requires less adrenaline, which can reduce the stress response.
Okay, interesting stuff. Bill is a psychotherapist. He's from changingstates.co.uk. We're talking about panic attacks on the programme today. And Beryl from Gosport says she has suffered panic attacks since her husband died. She called us on 0845 30 3961. She's going to an anxiety group to learn breathing techniques, very similar to what Bill has just been telling us about. We'd love to hear from you if you suffer from panic attacks, a bit like Beryl or Lockie, and how you actually cope with them. And we'll go back to this after Gloria. Gloria Gaynor and Never Can Say Goodbye. 21 minutes past 11. Got to say hi to Peter in Hayling, who said, I think I've done enough facial exercising today, Mike. You were doing the non-invasive facelift earlier on. I've just had a tooth taken out. Ouch! Peter, thanks for that. You can text the programme 07786 200 961. Talking about panic attacks this morning with Bill Frost, who's a psychotherapist from Changing States, allonewordcom.co.uk. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you.
Can these panic attacks be down to work stress, family stress, any kind of stress?
Well, there are a number of causes of panic attacks, and it's very important that people go to their GP for a checkup, at least in the first instance, because it may be due to hyperthyroidism or seizures or a side effect from medication.
Ah.
So that's certainly important. In the vast proportion of cases, this will simply be an over-amplification of a stress response.
Okay. Well, Bob in Freshwater has called us, 0845 30 30 961. Bob, thanks for taking the time to call. You suffered panic attacks for about 18 months. Did they come on suddenly?
Yep, without warning. All of a sudden, you'll be walking along the road, you'll be shopping, and then all of a sudden, you start getting the symptoms. The first thing I used to find was me breathing.
Yes.
Once the breathing, so then you start getting clammy, your hands starting getting clammy, and at a bad stage, your legs start going. You start trembling inside, and then fear sets in. The fear is the fear that overtakes the lot.
I can imagine that's the worst thing, Bob, because you know, after the first couple of panic attacks, exactly what's coming next.
You know exactly it's not going to be nice.
Yeah.
And they vary in range, as the gentleman said. Sometimes they're short, and sometimes they're long. And the long ones are really... And afterwards, you're absolutely... That's it, you're tired. You're absolutely... You feel like you've climbed Everest.
And you've actually, thankfully, learned to control them by focusing your mind.
Yes, I started thinking to myself, because it was always when I was too alert, mentally too alert.
Yes.
So I would, as soon as me breathing started going, instead of trying to do something about it, I would just get ready for what was coming next.
Right, bracing yourself.
Bracing myself for it. And then I found that if I started thinking about something, just as it started to come...
Yeah.
Then I would, it's a start of a 10, it'd give me a chance.
So you started to think about nice thoughts, something that would take your mind off.
I started with five things, and how I did it was, I thought of a public house, a launderette, anything that, a supermarket, anything like that.
Yeah.
And I would have to think of five things in there that I would buy, i.e. in the supermarket, bread, cheese, anything like that.
Yeah.
And then I would, if it was still carrying on and it was still trying to push into my brain to say, look, I'm still here, then I would go on to another thing, like a police station or a bookmaker's or off licence or so anything, just to keep it. And gradually I just started to win it, but I found that there were certain things that I found in my situation that would aggravate it, to bring it on quicker, was crowds.
Right.
I found that if I started going into crowds, I started to panic, because I could hear all the conversations at once, and my mind was too alert. So what I decided to do was stay away from crowds and work on it and give myself a chance. Because let me tell you, I'm not joking on this, I think the gentleman would agree, when you're in the middle of these attacks and they're really bad, you do get suicidal. You think to yourself, I can't put up with this. Mentally, you think to yourself, I prefer not to put up with it, and is there an easy way out? And things like that start going through your mind.
Bill Frost is the psychotherapist with us. As Bob says, he's coping with them now, but that suicidal thought, is that a thing that comes on often?
It can certainly happen in the latter stages of the process. Essentially, people start with simply having a panic attack, which is not that uncommon.
Mm.
That then evolves into panic attack disorder, which is having panic attacks and fearing future attacks, and that can evolve into panic attacks with agoraphobia, which is fear of wide open spaces,
open spaces,
and in particular fear of having a panic attack in public.
But Bob on the island has got the kind of right idea. He's doing exactly what you're doing, really controlling your breathing techniques and thinking about positive things.
Which is very important. Certainly controlling the breathing will eliminate the possibility of the process escalating, and distraction is very much important.
Bob, thanks for calling.
That's
really appreciate
okay.
that. Cheers, mate.
OK, all the best.
We've also had an email from Marion, mike.powell@bbc.co.uk. She says, having been suffering from bad panic attacks for the last 5 weeks or so, I was very pleased to be able to do Daniel O'Donnell's concert last night at Portsmouth. But someone insisted that I go to break the cycle, and I took my Bark Flower Remedy Rescue bottle with me in my pocket, took it twice during the show, and it did it. Is that another way of combating it, Bill?
The most important aspect there is undoing some of the avoidance, and avoidance tends to perpetuate the level of fear.
Yeah.
And confronting whatever it is that one is avoiding tends to reduce that fear. If you avoid something, the adrenal response, the stress response, will tend to remain at quite a high level. Whereas if you confront a situation, confront that which you are fearing, then the adrenal response, the stress response, reduces very rapidly.
Okay, and Marie and Fairham has texted in as well. Rescue Remedy is very good for panic attacks, she says. So, Bill, I can imagine that you get people from all walks of life coming to you for this non-invasive treatment, biofeedback.
Absolutely.
It can hit anyone.
Absolutely. Anybody in any walk of life, ultimately panic attacks are strongly yeah. reinforced by a belief that the feelings associated with hyperventilation are a symptom of organic disease. Therefore, people can go through quite a long diagnostic process to identify that there is no physical cause.
Okay, but the message is, first of all, before you try any of these techniques, go to your GP first.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bill, thanks so much for coming on the programme.
My pleasure, Mike.
Bill Frost, who's a psychotherapist, his website, if you want to go and find out more, is www.changingstates.co.uk.